2 Timothy 3 and verse 14. There are a few instructions that you must take home today, and the teaching is directed in that area or along those lines. Praise God. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Hallelujah. Truly furnished unto all good works. Of course, verse 14 starts by saying, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. At times, it seems easy. I say, I'm continuing now. But there are things that you also must not do, so that continuing can be guaranteed. Say, yes, I'm continuing the things I'm learning. I'm continuing. At times, you don't realize something is deceiving you until you have been deceived already. Because the truth is, if that thing comes at you and deception is obvious, who submits himself or herself to deception? Somebody wants to dupe you. He won't come and say, I want to dupe you. Right? It won't come like that. It may come as a friend. It may come as a business partner. It may come as someone who wants to render service to you. So it will disguise, but there is a plan underneath. There's a plan beneath the activities that you see. And then boom. When it's time to strike, strikes. Okay? So when it says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Yes, we can bring it in the context of Paul writing to Timothy, a pastor of the churches at Ephesus, whom Paul had taught, and he had the authority to teach others. Okay, but I want to relate this to you. Yes, firstly, I can relate it to you from the point of you being a discipler of others. All right, in the things you have learned, continue in it. I can relate it to you as a believer. The things you have learned, ensure that you practice them. But you see, I want to tell you that there are some things that some of us get to do that go in the way of our quest to continue in the things that we have learned. There are some things you cannot be found doing and claim to want to continue. One of it is wrong association. You can't keep people around you who don't want to serve the Lord. You cannot keep people, I'm not saying fight everybody, no. But you can't keep people around you that don't want to serve God. You can't keep people around you that make light of the things of God or the truth of God's word. You can't keep people around you that the first thing they want to do is to criticize or abuse a preacher. Are there preachers who are doing wrong, misusing the authority that God gave them? Yes. I mean, you see people so quick, just get on Facebook, all these pastors. You can't keep such people around you. In no time, it will get to you. It will get into you. You will get to church and say, he's one of them. All these pastors. Amen, amen. Because what will happen from that is you will begin to make light of the words of such person. And if that's God speaking to you, that means what you have allowed to get into you is preventing you from listening to God. Did you hear that? What you have allowed to get into you is preventing you from listening to God. So you must keep the right association. You must be where God has put you. There are some things believers do where God leads them to a place, they lead themselves out by offense. By this, by that, they lead themselves out. With due respect, I mean, a few years of pastoring, I've seen all kinds of people. How can you go to a church and say God led you there, and then you attended the service, and then they didn't visit you, and you didn't show up again? God didn't lead you. Or he led you, you led yourself out. Does that make sense? So you must do all to stay in the will of God. Don't be deceived. 1 Corinthians 15:33. God is not mocked. Evil communication, right? What does it do? It corrupts good manners. You have been taught to pray. Cherish it. You have been taught to study God's word. Cherish it. Cherish it. It looks like it would just be a service of admonitions. Of course, I'll cheat, but it looks like a host of things are just coming to mind. Cherish it. You have been taught to flow with the Holy Ghost. Cherish it. You have been taught to practice the things of and that pertain to the Spirit. Cherish it. You have been taught to evangelize, to disciple others. Cherish it. So this came to mind now before I forget, let me just say it. A lot of people tend to be driven or too quickly influenced by certain three things. Number one, money. Number two, fame. Number three, size. Number one, money. Number two, fame. Number three, size. If you look at all those three things, none of them is bad, right? In itself. Amen? Money is good, right? Am I before the right congregation?
Yes, sir.
Money is good, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Fame is good, right? Hello? Is fame good?
Yes, sir.
Size, in terms of largeness. Is it good?
Yes, sir.
Is it?
Yes, sir.
Is it good to have big things? Right?
Yes, sir.
It's good. Okay. But when it comes to the things of God, I'm not saying it is, when it comes to spiritual things, it's now not good to have this thing. No, that's not what I'm saying. I am saying that it is easy for you to be influenced by those three things in the negative, whereby you begin to assume that money is the proof. Of God's validation. It's not always. Amen? It's not always. Praise God. Imagine here now we have 5 billionaires who are well taught in God's word. I mean, they will give according to their prosperity, right? There will be money. If you have that in another assembly, it doesn't validate what comes from the pulpit. Amen? You say, thank God for sending 5 billionaires our way. We have resources, you know. It does not validate what they say. What validates what they say is that they took the Bible, properly interpreted it, and said what God wanted them to say. Does that make sense? Money is good. Money is needed to do what God has called you to do. You cannot fulfill Matthew 28 and verse 19 to 20 if you don't have money. Hey, are you there? You go into all the world. How you get there? Supernatural appearances and disappearances? No. You put fuel in a vehicle. You bought a plane. You bought this, bought that. You do something to get to those places. Amen? It's terrible how, you know, some people accuse preacher and say, you know, why do you need a private jet? It's because you are not a preacher. If you were a preacher, you have two. You know, why do you need a private jet? There are preachers who preach Saturday night in London and preach Sunday morning in Nigeria. How do you want them to do that? They'll just go to the hotel, sleep, and wake up in Lagos. That's not possible if you don't have a personal jet. It's impossible. I told you before, I checked a preacher's itinerary on his website. I checked in September, that particular year, I think it was 2013, if I'm correct. Till May, the following year, it was booked every weekend. He should not have private jets. Booked, I'm not joking, booked. Every weekend, it was somewhere. And that's to also, that's not to forget the meetings that were during the week. Booked. How do you want to do that? Across continents, not within the same locality. Across continents. How do you want to do that? So, if there's anybody here under the sound of my voice and you belong to that category of people who just easily talk, are there those who take the money that the saints contribute and use it however? Yes. Do the saints have the obligation to contribute? Yes. Is the money needed to further the gospel? Yes. So do not, because of the bad examples, begin to talk down on everybody. Amen? No, don't. I mean, personally here, you know, as we join him, say, okay, when we buy some things, when we want to have a meeting, we'll relax. We won't spend anything. It has never happened. At the end of the meeting, when I say, how much did you say? Why die now. And you know that after the meeting, we now relax. There's nothing to buy again. We have entered into glory. Amen, amen. So be mindful of where you say, these guys have money. So that means they're in the will of God. It's not always correct. Amen. I mean, consciously or subconsciously, many people do that, particularly on the media. Just scan the church. They have this, they have this, they have that. Great church. Great. What did they say? Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Let me not say that because I wanted to say something, but some people use it to also taunt the church, so I will say that. But churches need funds. Amen? I mean, that didn't start today. The saints supported Paul with resources. Poor people put money together, gave it to Paul, and pleaded with him, please take it. Don't reject it. Please take it. Amen? What's the next one? Fame? I mean, that one is very easy. Just get on Instagram. 524K. As sent of God. Followers, right? Just a small video, you know, of, you know, somebody going somewhere and in 1 hour, boom, 20,000 people have seen it. Say, whatever this person says, I mean, some people do that. I know you are different. Amen? You know, some people do that, just easily swayed by. I'm not talking about those who have been around for a while, who have the wealth of experience, who have stayed with the truth of God's word, and their fame has been noised abroad by the power of God's Spirit. When Jesus returned from the wilderness after fasting 40 days, how did he return? In the power of the Spirit. And what happened? His fame was noised abroad. Yeah. So it's not wrong. It's not that when you are in the will of God, you must not be known. You must be in one corner somewhere, laboring. Must not be known, no. Okay? But it seems as though we are too quickly influenced by fame. Fame. She's popular, so she must be sound. Is popular, so he must be doing the will of God. Not so. Okay? So I have not said that fame is how you know those that are not in the will of God. I hope that's correct. I hope you are hearing me.
Yes, sir.
Aha. I've not said that. Okay? The next is size. Size. Won't you just let me even say it like this. Once you just see something small, just write them off. Come to our church. You're looking for a church. Yeah, come to our church. Our church is, you know, you will grow spiritually. That's the church you're looking for. Come. You just get there, you see 20 people, 19 chairs. What's going on here? The pastor is laboring, teaching. I'm just looking at 19 chairs. And you count again. We are 20 now. 19. I said, I can't come to your church. Why? God is leading me somewhere. That's not the issue. Amen? But when you get there, you see people and say, ah, God is here. That happens too easily. Amen. That's what pushes people to make flyers for a meeting and steal pictures of a crowd of another meeting so that people can show up. Because people are too easily influenced by that. Say Supernatural Joy Conference 2024. They will go and steal that Geo's Holy Ghost Convention picture. And now put it on the banner. Ah. Because people are too easily influenced. There are many other than just three that I just want to talk about. All right? So let your focus be on the truth of God's word. Let your focus be on the things of the Spirit. Let your focus be on what God wants, what God is saying. Ensure that the side you always take is the one that supports the truth of God's word, the instructions in the word, and the furtherance of the gospel. I remember when church was built in Abuja, and it was supposed to seat 100,000 people at once, and people were talking. Said, why? He said, the temple of God is men, not building. I'm like, what's your issue? If 100,000 people fill that place regularly, let it is better. Stop the drama. Say, how can they use so billion to what's your own? People fill it up to hear God's word, to be ministered to by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's better. Always better. And then I hear someone that is singing nonsense all about it. Say it's worth is $5 billion. I say, wow. But a building cannot be raised with billions. To teach people regularly is different when God instructs you to start a church. I don't know why I'm going this route this morning. Sorry, everyone in my note. It's different when God calls you to start a church and then begin to raise funds. For what? You have not held one service. You are calling me to send you money so that you can pay for a venue that they'll be collecting $150,000 per service. I will sit you down and tell you how I started. You don't have it. Start in your sitting room. As you know, that's not befitting. Then the call is not befitting. Leave it. That's different. I mean, it's good when a church has their own property. They're not paying rent. Nobody will come one day and serve them quit notice. It has happened one time before, you know. We just came, usually Saturday, we came to set up, you know, so that we can come on Sunday, have a great time. We just came, we met in locked. What's going on? Called everybody. Eventually, he said, if you do not pay 3 months up front, you are not going to use this place. Did you open it though? We packed our things. Went to the sitting room. Hallelujah. Some of us used to hear stories of how churches started. Of the preachers that we look at today and celebrate, wow, see crowd. Should I mention? Let me not mention the name. I don't know how true the story is, but there was a preacher for... I'm mixing it up now. I don't know which one is true. I'll just say whatever. There was a preacher who had 20 people as members for 12 years. 20. The preacher I'm talking about has churches now all over the place. 12 years, 20 people. Unknown those times. Unknown. 20 people. And I'm sure you know how it happens. I mean, those times of starting and all of that, it looks as though saints cooperate with themselves. When 20 people come today, it's like 4 people will call another 4 and say, come and replace us. We're not coming next week. We are coming in 3 months' time. So you, when you attend next week, make sure you call another 4 to come and replace you. So you just, same number, but it seems to be a distribution of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So watch it. Be on God's side. Okay? Whatever it is, be on God's side. God always stands by his servants. He appoints no man to be their judge. Be on God's side. Amen? Be on the side of the church. Be on the side of spiritual growth. Be on the side of evangelism and discipleship. Be on the side of prayer. Be on the side of the things of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, so where are we again? 2 Timothy, right? Second Timothy 3 and verse 14. Continue in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of. Continue. Don't let anybody tell you that you don't have to pray. You can just confess God's word. Don't let anybody tell you that. Don't let anybody tell you that it's not about praying long. Those things are not consistent with Bible instructions. Romans 12:12. Continue instant in prayer. Is that 5 minutes? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Is that 10 minutes? Ephesians 6:18. Praying always. Is that today and no more? Is that when you like? Luke 18:1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Always. Is 1 hour per month always? 2 hours per month always? Luke 6 and 12. Jesus departed, went into the mountains, and he was there all night doing what? Praying. The Lord Jesus prayed. Luke 22, 42 to 44. He was near his crucifixion. He began to pray. He was in so much agony, he prayed so much that his sweat was like great drops of blood. That's stress. I don't want anybody to stress me. Espalafi, Soprode, Parata, Parata, Suska, Sagano. Singapore is ours. For where? You pray. You pray, you are tired, you keep praying. That's part of Christian work. Philippians 3 and 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Don't stop there. And the fellowship of his suffering. Be made conformable unto his death. His suffering. You labor. Say, ah, they are inviting you to Shiloh. Say, ah, I'll fast 3 days. I'll pray. And well, we can understand that on some side. But now say, I invite you to come and share in our fellowship. How many are you? 5. Where is the venue? In my sitting room. I don't need to fast for that one. Ah. I don't need to pray about that one. Ah. They are getting you. Amen, amen. So don't let people sell those things to you. It's not about praying long, it's about praying well. What does that mean? When Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So it is in your praying that you get persuaded. What if I'm not persuaded in 5 minutes? I should stop. There are some things it takes 12 hours to be persuaded. You know, some people say if you are too repetitive in your prayer, then, you know, you are praying in unbelief. It's lie. It's not true. Say it again and again and again. And it's better to keep saying it and say, how can you pray about something yesterday? You pray about it again. There's a context where that is probably okay. But pray, keep praying. So you now want to form in faith. You prayed about something 5 minutes yesterday. I said, I prayed about it. So I don't need to pray about it again. I'm in faith. And then when something just comes and just scares you, amen. Praise God. So stay with the culture and tradition of the church. When the church began, they were praying. When that man by the beautiful gate was healed, in that lame man in Acts 3, it was the hour of prayer. They were going for prayer meeting when Peter and John healed him. They had prayer times. Prayer was their culture. When James was taken and killed, when the king, same king, took Peter to kill him, prayer. They gathered in someone's house and continued to pray till their prayer was answered. Amen? You must stay with the culture and tradition of the church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. So properly teaching the scripture is crucial in or to the Christian faith. Crucial. The scriptures must be taught well. They must be. I know this is a debate here and there where, you know, people debate about it, and it's okay. God wants the world, not our little spaces. So he has time. Okay? If we do our part and we go, and there's still more places to take, he'll raise more men. Every generation thinks that they are the ones God will use to take everywhere. You know, Paul said, we that are alive will be caught up with him. He has gone. Those that have gone, we that are alive, will be caught up with him. What he said there, we'll say to him now. Say, those that are gone, Paul, you will come with the Lord. We that are alive, will be caught up with him. Hallelujah. So, there are things that will happen. We may not have to strive or struggle about it. Over time, things will get better. Of course, we'll labor. who work hard. Amen? Let me tell you something. God is raising strong local churches where sound doctrine and the practice of the things of the Spirit is an endless tradition. It may not be apparent now. The churches that is raising may be small now, but it's rising. Hallelujah. Are you glad about that?
Yes, sir.
It's on the increase. Amen, amen. Yeah. Thank God for Australia and Russia. Let's lift your hands. Thank God for that. Sound local churches. Thank God. Thank God. Australia, Russia. We'll pray. But for now, thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Yeah. The answer to the prayer of the saints there will be met. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So properly teaching the scriptures is crucial. Bible interpretation is everything. It's not a move. Amen? It will continue. There won't be dark days anymore. The scriptures will be upheld. Trusted in and properly taught. And there shall be increase, and it will spread, and more men will be raised to hold the fort. And when they are gone, there will not be scarcity. There will be more men already. And as more go, more multiplied. Till the Father's plan is fulfilled in the earth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just thank God again for something else now, not Australia, for the preservation of God's ministers and servants. Just thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I'd like you to speak words. Just thank God. They are preserved, delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. They are preserved for decades. Those who are already 80 will be 90 and 100. In the name of Jesus, nobody is going yet. The impact will be more. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God for that. Yes, preserved, preserved, preserved. In the name of Jesus, preserved, 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 preserved. Preserved, 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 preserved. Amen. So to properly interpret the Bible is crucial. It is everything. It has everything to do with the Christian faith. You know what that means? It means that we will only do what God wants us to do correctly until or when we interpret the Bible correctly. In 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1 to 2, there was a man, young man, called Amaziah, who did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with the right heart. Now, from that, we can see that it is also possible to do what is not right in the sight of the Lord, but with a right heart. Hey, are you there? It's possible. Not to do what is right in the sight of the Lord, but with a right heart. Now, God doesn't condemn his children. If that heart is right, he'll honor his servant. Praise God. If that heart is right, he'll honor his servant. He'll make a miracle possible when that servant asks. But you see, the right thing with the right heart is what God wants. And the right thing is only possible when you get what God is saying in his word. And you cannot get what God is saying in his word until you properly interpret the Bible. Do you understand that? Hey, are you there? The right thing with the right heart is what God wants. And you can only get the right thing when you properly interpret the Bible. The right thing is in proper Bible interpretation. That's where you find it. Where you properly interpret and you see, oh, this is what God is saying. This is what God said through his prophet. Glory to God. So you must wholly embrace the culture of handling the scriptures rightly. Are you there? You must wholly embrace it. Like I told you earlier, it's not a move. It's not something that God is doing now and he will not do again. No. It's not a now emphasis. Yes, there are times where from time to time, you know, the Spirit of God emphasizes something and say, okay, make sure you pay attention to this. I'm talking generally now. It's not that, okay, it's this season. So there will come a time in 2100 where that phase will have passed in the body of Christ. I'll be focusing on other. No, it will never end. Hallelujah. Amen, amen? Amen, amen? Amen. Okay, so you must wholly embrace the culture of handling the scriptures rightly. Have you written that? To take a hold of truth. Someone can come to you and say, God told me that there's an issue of so and so and so in your family. And then you say, wow, that's accurate. How did you know? I said, God told me. And God said, this is what you should do. And it's over. Or he says it's over, and then it's over. Great. That same person can say, God told me that so-and-so is the correct interpretation of the Bible, and it's wrong. Hey, are you there?
Yes, sir.
When it comes to Bible truth, it is not God told me. If it is ever God told me, it must be in agreement with what God has said already. If not, I mean, you are saying that Malachi 3:6 is not correct. And the Lord, I change none. I mean, he has changed. He told them something then. He's telling you something different now. Are you there? It is study, faithful and diligent study of God's word. That is how to know what is written. Hallelujah. And that's why in church, we study together. That's why it is recommended that you come with your Bible. So that I don't sneak in something that is not here. We follow together. I mean, if not, we just say, don't come with your Bible. Don't come with notes as well, so that you don't remember. And then we don't misfire. Poo, 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 poo. Don't say anything. But you must come with your Bible. You must see. You must take notes. So that you can continue to see. Hallelujah. So you must embrace. Holy. The culture of handling the scriptures rightly to take a hold of truth. It must be your delight to see the scriptures well taught and explained. It must excite you to see the scriptures well taught and explained. Which one is all this interpreting, explaining, taking notes? Then when are we going to finish and sing? It must be your delight. Hallelujah. To see the scriptures well taught and explained. It must. Have you noticed that that's the major thing Jesus did post-resurrection before he physically left the earth? That's the major thing. The day of Pentecost is called Pentecost because it is 50 days after a particular feast. And that feast is Passover. Jesus was killed the week of Passover. He died according to the scriptures. Okay? So, he died, he was buried, he rose from the dead, right? So, he was in hell 3 days, three nights. Then he rose. Okay? And then, I don't know how long, maybe 1 day or 2 days before he began to teach his disciples. Firstly, they began to, where is he? They went to his tomb. The women went there. They said, truly he's risen. They went to the apostles. Peter and, was it John? Ran there also to, true, he's risen. They went back to the company. They locked the doors because they were afraid of the Jews, for fear of the Jews. And then Jesus came in. Okay, so maybe the same day he rose. Maybe the next day. I'm just giving you this so that you can think. 50 days after Passover is Pentecost. Okay? Now, in Acts 1:3, Jesus taught his disciples for 40 days. He taught his disciples for 40 days. Now, when he was done teaching them, maybe he left as soon as he was done teaching, or he still stayed around 1-2 days. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, what did he say? He said, you wait for the promise of the Father, which said ye heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with what? The Holy Ghost, not many days hence. So, however you want to look at it, let's say, as soon as he rose, like, boom, he just went to teach. Let's assume. And then as soon as he finished teaching, led them as far as to Bethany, and he was lifted up and carried into heaven, and that happened. So let's say, as soon as he rose, 40 days. While he was speaking to them, Pentecost will be how long? 10 days. But if we say, okay, let's remove 3 days in hell, let's remove maybe 1 day here, 1 day here, so maybe about 5 days. This is not many days hence. A few days from now. That's what that means, right? You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost on many days. A few days from now, you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So, 50 days, and he used 40 to teach. That's big deal. Does that make sense? That's big deal. That's what I'm trying to say. That's the point I'm driving at. That's big deal. 40 days. Out of 50, minus those other days that we spoke about, So perhaps we can even say 40 out of 45. He used to teach. So that's a big deal. He used to explain the scriptures. So from 2 Timothy 2 and 15, before I continue that line of thought, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, he says, study to show thyself approved. That word study is not, you know, do your Bible study. It just means be diligent. Yes, it has to do with teaching. It's talking to a pastor. But it just means be diligent. Be diligent. How many of you have translations that say that? NIV? Everybody? That says be diligent. 2 Timothy 2:15. Okay, be diligent. To show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The usual way I interpret this verse is as though Paul was telling Timothy, do your diligence such that when you teach the scriptures, if God needs to say anything, he will say, Timothy has said what I want to say. He says, be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. So when you speak, God will say, I approve that man. What he said is what I said. So it requires diligence. Like I usually say in our local church, don't let anybody push you hard to say what you're not supposed to say. They'll say, bro, you are going to share with us in today's meeting. Say, Say, how many minutes? 35 minutes. Well, you didn't tell me. Okay, that's another thing to talk about. But just imagine, you are not prepared. You didn't say, you know, went there, you know, say, I want to tell you that. That. You know, just jam everything together. And as you are jamming it, you know, you didn't prepare. You know, you are not saying anything that makes sense like that. But as you are jamming it, the people are saying, whoa! People are shouting, hey! And then you feel God has given you a message. And then when they invite you again, you say, I want to share a revelation with you. God shared. He spoke. His spirit came to me. Amen? Be diligent. Be diligent. Be diligent. Amen? Say, on the subject of salvation, quote 30 scriptures. You can. And you are teaching. Teaching what? Be diligent. Be diligent. Are you hearing me? Be diligent. Be diligent. If you are occupying the position of leadership and you have the privilege to teach people, be diligent. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Isaiah 54 and 5. The Lord God had given me a tongue of learning that should know how to speak a word and sing to him that is weary. He wakened my ear, morning by morning. It wakened my ear to hear. The Lord God had opened my ear. I was not rebellious, and I turned the way back. If you have the privilege to speak, ensure that your hearing, your listening, is double. You are hearing a lot so that your speech can be controlled. I say, what can we jam together? Amen, amen. Be diligent. Be diligent. What did I say? Be diligent. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman, a laborer, a toiler, that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God expects that his word be taught the way he wants it to. Run to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3 and verse 15. 2 Peter 3 and 15. If you're there, say amen. Okay, I'll wait. I want us to read together. Glory, glory, glory. 2 Peter 3 and verse 15. If you're there, say amen. All right, let's read from 15 to 16. One, two, go. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of the in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are learned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Can you see that? Peter acknowledged the grace and the wisdom given to Paul to explain the scriptures. And when he wrote in his epistles, some struggled with his interpretation. And Peter said they struggled with his interpretation or explanation, that is, they struggled with Paul's interpretation and explanation the same way they struggled with the scriptures. I mean, today there are still Jews who are offended at Paul. But that's not what God requires of you. In Romans 10, Paul says, my desire to God for Israel is that they be saved. I acknowledge that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. I believe that till today, those who practice Judaism are still faithful to the scriptures in the sense that they read it regularly. They memorize it. I remember I heard a story that someone met a Jew and was trying to explain the same way you have in Acts 8 where Philip met that man, that eunuch on the chariot, and he was reading Isaiah 53. You know, so the guy was trying to quote one verse in Isaiah 53. The Jew just said, you mean? And he started from verse 1 to the end. Okay? They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. If you take Isaiah 53 and you cannot see that God became a man to become sacrifice for the sins of the whole world and believe in him to be saved, then, I mean, they're just playing around. Amen? Are you there? So, they saw Paul's epistles, read them, and they struggled with it. Peter called them unlearned, unstable. The word rest, that means to struggle. So they found it difficult to accept Paul's interpretation or explanation of the scriptures. They found it difficult. How do you say we shouldn't do this anymore? How do you say this one is gone? How do you say this thing that we used to do, this practice, is now a shadow? The reality is this. How do you say we're not supposed to practice this feast that, like we used to? We're just to speak. What are you saying? We know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that delivered our fathers. We know the ordinances, the tradition. How can one Paul come and say that just believe in your heart and confess and that's it? How? They struggled with it. But Peter acknowledges Paul, acknowledges his office and says, if you struggle with his explanation and interpretation, it is sure that you are also struggling with the scriptures. You don't know how to navigate through. Amen, amen. You don't know how to navigate through. Luke 24. So like we're saying before, big deal. Jesus teaching his disciples 40 days. Few days left physically in the earth. But he spent 40 of it teaching. In Luke 24, from verse 25 to 27, Cleopas and the other disciple were on their way to Emmaus, and Jesus met them. And a few things transpired. I mean, they spoke like they didn't believe the words of the prophet. Just narrating the events of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection casually. They said, and today is the third day, he's risen. They're just saying, and all of that. Maybe one day I'll find time to calculate the days. Because this is also part of it. On their way to Emmaus, we'll calculate the distance. I know how long that took before he left them, before he now went to this person and that person. So I might be right with those 1, 2, 3 days here and there. But 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So all that the prophets have spoken, the fulfillment of it is what played out before their eyes. That's why he said, oh, fools. And he explained himself. Fools will mean slow of heart to believe. Slow of heart to believe. To believe what the prophets have said. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The word expounded is a word that means interpretation. He interpreted the scriptures to them. So he began to direct things to himself. Himself. I know you might be reading this, but this is speaking about me. John 7, 37 to 39. On the last day of the feast, Jesus cried out and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And you know, today in Christianity, we still say, out of my belly flows rivers of living water. As the scriptures have said, concerning himself, it's Jesus that stood up and cried out of his belly. The scriptures said out of his belly. Jesus was saying at that time, the scriptures testified of me. I am saying, come to me and drink. Out of my belly flows rivers of living water. And John explained to us in verse 39, that this spake he of the spirit, that they that believe on him should receive. For the spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So when he said, come and drink, he said, come and receive the spirit. Can you give the spirit? Huh? So, Bible interpretation is everything. Where he speaks concerning Jesus, you just take it for yourself. Properly interpreting Bible. Thinking, following through, depending on the Holy Ghost. To read through scriptures. I mean, you can imagine, just go to 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. Say, I am a royal priesthood. Priesthood. You are. I am a holy nation. Nation, you. I mean, intelligently, you navigate through. Amen? So he interpreted unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You can write this down. John 5, 39 to 40. 45 to 47. Concerning himself. The scriptures are about him. In verse 44, Luke 24. These are the words which I speak unto you while I was here with you, that all things were fulfilled, were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. What again? Concerning me. Concerning me. Verse 45. Then openly the understanding that I may understand the scriptures. So it means that the understanding of the scriptures is to see that the prophets prophesied concerning Jesus. First Peter 1, 10 and 11, of which salvation the prophets inquired and sat diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what the old man of time, Christ, who was in them, did signify, when he testified beforehand, what? The sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow. The same thing we find here in 46, Luke 24. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That's what's written. I said, thus it is written. You won't go to the scripture, Genesis to Malachi, and begin to look for where? Who said this thing exactly? Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ. No, that's the interpretation, explanation, summary of the scriptures. That's what all of the prophets were saying. The same way in Acts 20 and 35. When Paul said, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You won't find anywhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where Jesus said, verbatim, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It was an explanation from the teachings and the words of Jesus. Jesus said, Jesus taught, Jesus encouraged, Jesus instructed to give than to receive. Does that make sense? So what you find there in 46 is not, you know, what you see somewhere that he said or that the prophet said. It will be the explanation, the interpretation. So the interpretation of the writings of the prophets is the sufferings of Christ. They predicted Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, amen. So I plead with you again. Holy embrace the culture of handling the scriptures rightly, so that you can take a hold of truth. That's why we ensure that we teach every of our practices. Prayer can be taught. Rejoicing can be taught. Flowing with the Holy Ghost can be taught. Hearing God can be taught. Walking with God can be taught. Serving the Lord can be taught. Evangelism can be taught. Discipleship can be taught. Amen? That's why we teach everything. So that you can see. So that you can have the culture of allowing your practices to stem from Bible truth. I'm doing this way because this is what the Word of God said. That is how God wants us to worship Him. Say, John 4:24, God is a spirit. Or God is spirit. And they that worship Him was worshiping in spirit and in truth. In truth. That's how God wants us to worship Him. He wants to be served in truth. Not that He just wants to be served. No, He wants to be served in truth. In truth. In reality, He wants to be served that way. Amen. And see, when Jesus had taught them, okay, from that's documented from 44 to 49, He taught them through the scriptures. Law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Genesis to Malachi. He taught them. Now, from verse 50, and He led them as far as to Bethany, and lifted up His hands, and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them, and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped God, or they worshipped Him, right? They worshipped Him. They worshipped Him. Now, something happened there. They worshipping Him means that they saw from Jesus' teaching that Jesus is God that became a man to fulfill his plan since the beginning. So that their view of Jesus, their master, changed. Only God is to be worshipped. Right? Only God. That's a clear instruction in scriptures. You serve no other God but him. You worship the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So when he taught them, they now saw Jesus as the one that is to be worshipped. The word worship there, it means to pay homage. They saw him as the one with all authority. Matthew 28, 18. They saw him. He taught them. They saw it. And it changed or influenced their behavior or their service, their worship. It changed it. So don't say, is it all about worshiping God? Let's just worship. No! Your worship is going to be right when your knowledge is right. Yes, your heart can be right. And your knowledge is not right. God will honor it. But God's ordained pattern and order is for your knowledge to be right, so that your worship can be right. So that your service can be right. So it will mean that, I mean, these are the guys who have been calling him master. In Matthew 16, Peter by revelation said, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. But when they were well taught, they worshipped him. He was parted from them, carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him. They saw him as God. Hallelujah. They saw him as one that deserved worship. They saw him as the King of Kings. They saw him as the Lord of Lords. They saw him as Jehovah. And they worshipped him. And then returned to Jerusalem with great joy. With great joy. Their hearts were gladdened. Earlier he was taken from them and killed. They were in fear. Peter denied him. John looked from afar and was watching and was going every step of the way. Now when he taught them and he was carried up into heaven, they worshipped and returned to Jerusalem with joy. Hallelujah. Something shifted in their hearts. Something affected their service, their worship. The right knowledge. They return with joy. They return with joy. It was as a result of the teachings and the instructions of Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 53. And were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. They were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. They didn't for once say, yeah, he has gone. And then left his instructions. No. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Verse 49, Luke 24. And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. They stayed with the instructions. They obeyed him. They paid homage to him. They submitted to him. They did exactly what he said. Because he had taught them and they had seen what God had planned from the beginning. And they praised and blessed God continually. Hallelujah. Praise God. Perhaps there's someone here who has been inconsistent in service to God. Today you are here, today you are there. Today you are up, tomorrow you are down, and you know, you just don't know what it is. Perhaps you should settle down and hear the right things. Hear the things that made Peter to request to be crucified upside down. that he's not worthy to be crucified like his Lord. Hear the things that John heard. That made him to preach Jesus no matter what. History tells us that he was boiled in hot oil. And he didn't die. Then he was banished to the island of Patmos. And when he was there, that was when he shifted into the spirit on the Lord's day. And he was able to hear the things that the Lord Jesus said to him and then gave us the book of Revelation. Hear the things that the apostles heard, that they laid down their lives for the gospel. Hear it and let your heart catch fire. Hear it. It requires settling down. It requires settling down. Jesus himself taught 40 days. 40. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 40. Imagine Supernatural Joy Conference, 40 days. Amen? 40 days. 40 days. Settle down and learn. One Sunday here and there is never enough. Settle down. Be in church. Learn. Stay in a place. Hear the right things over and over again till your heart resonates and catches fire. Amen, amen? Amen, amen? They heard the right things long enough and it changed their perception. It affected and influenced their heart. And they acted, behaved, or served differently. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you still there? So what they heard made them to rejoice with great joy. They saw from the scriptures, having been taught by Jesus 40 days. That's in Acts 1:3. They saw. And they responded. Before I forget this, in Acts 5. See what the disciples did. My goodness. Acts 5, quickly. I mean, we could read some more, but let's just do 40 and 41. Or let's do 40 to 42. Acts 5, are you there? Verse 40 to 42, one to go. And to him, they agreed. And let them go. And they parted. Can you see that? This is your Christianity. This is the spirit that you have received. Same spirit. Yes, you cannot stand in their shoes as foundational apostles. That was peculiar to them. But the things that they did, it's not peculiar to them. By the same spirit, they counted themselves worthy to suffer shame for Jesus. Wow. I was in church. The usher didn't speak to me rightly. I count myself worthy to suffer shame for the Lord Jesus. No, that's not my own Christianity. My own is I'm not coming again. And then all that churches where they will even be smiling from downstairs and clapping for you. And I came to your church. You cannot even add, I'm not coming again. They counted themselves worthy. You go to preach. Leave this place. Say, me. You've had ladies go to preach. They wore trousers. They got there. They chased them like ram. No, this is not Christianity. How can you be wearing trousers? Don't you read the Bible? Go. Say, I'm me. Ah! Rather than rejoice, you get discouraged. Say, maybe I shouldn't go out and preach again. Amen, amen. There's something that you must hear and continue to hear that will give you the fire, the passion, the motivation to continue to pursue the things of God. In Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost fully come, they were all one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And now hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and in Pontus and in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These are full of new wine. And I want you to notice that. Verse 13. These are full of new wine. Now, this is an observation by the Jews that were gathered around that activity. Don't forget, we read it was noised abroad, and then they came together, and then they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocked. So let's just say, certain mocked, saying, or others mocking said, These men are full of. So from their observation, what they saw was like men filled with new wine. Men intoxicated. Remember how Reverend referred to the word new there? Undiluted. Strong intoxication. Full of new wine. New wine. Okay? The one that is strong. That, you know, when you drink it, there's no way you won't misbehave. Praise God. They said, these men are full of new wine. So, men, let's say natural men, observed men acting out their spiritual nature or flowing with the Holy Ghost and said they were full of new wine. So is it possible for someone to say, Glory, 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 and say you are full of new wine? And somebody observe you and say, you are full of new wine. No. Full of new wine, that is, there's something influencing you, and it's like strong drink. It's like you took strong drink. That's why you are behaving the way you are behaving. Amen? Strong intoxication. So they mocked and said, they are full of new wine. Now, of course, from verse 14, Peter, standing up with 11, then preached from Joel, chapter 2, 28 to 32. But notice verse 15, what they said, Acts 2, 15. He says, For these are not drunken, as you suppose. Hallelujah. It says, the way you think they are drunk is not the way they got drunk. It's just as simple as that. So, Peter and the 11 were simply agreeing that there was an intoxication, but not the way you think. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look up, guys. Look up, guys. Imagine you leave church this morning or afternoon, and then you are going like this to the bus stop. And then you continue. You're talking to a cabman. You say, oh, lost on Sunday. And he's even well dressed. He's drunk. What did someone like this drink? That is like this. And then you now respond, not as you think. You get the point. So it's not that you were just calm, go your way, and somebody comes and say, you are drunk. I say, ah, are you drunk? Okay? So you have to say, not as you think. No, this is not beer. This is not liquor. This is not wine. This is not undiluted wine. This is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This is the Holy Ghost. That's why I went to Joel 2:28 and said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That's what the prophet prophesied. Glory to God. So, some intoxication. Glory, glory, glory. Intoxication happened in Acts 2. They spoke with tongues, they prophesied. There was some intoxication. There was some Holy Ghost intoxication. Holy Ghost drunkenness. And why did it happen? Because they had been taught through the scriptures. They had been showed by Jesus what shall be. Remember in Luke 10:21, Jesus told them, or is it 20? 20. Yes, 20, not 21. 21 was where Jesus then rejoiced in the Spirit. But in 20, he told them, say, rejoice. Don't rejoice. Is it 20? I hope I'm correct. You can quickly check. 20? 19? Please check. I want us to check so that we can have the right reference. Huh? Check. 20? Thank you very much. 20. So it says, rejoice not in this, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And it says, let this be an eternal reason. Your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because of the resurrection. Rejoice because of salvation. Rejoice. You have come to fullness of joy. Psalm 16 and verse 11. In your presence, fullness of joy. Rejoice in this. Rejoice in this. So when they received the Spirit, they had been schooled. When they received the Spirit, they knew that this is fullness of joy. This is gladness. This is eternal joy. This is happiness by the Holy Ghost. We have come to a happy place. We have come to a wealthy place. We have come to a fortified place. They were intoxicated by the Spirit that they received. Glory to God. So the observers saw and mocked. Say, ah, in the morning, these guys are full of new wine. Peter now said, no, they are not drunken as you think. This brother thought out of the day. That's like 9 a.m. It's too early. They are not drunken as you think. This is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This is the Holy Ghost. So if there was rejoicing, look at verse 4, Acts 2. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. Began to speak. Began to speak. So we can say they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to rejoice. Began to rejoice. Hallelujah. All it takes to rejoice is to begin. Amen? Amen? That's just how to start. Praise God. You just begin. Ha 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 ha. That's just how to begin. Ha 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 ha. That's just it. That's just it. Amen. That's just how to start. Praise God. I say, pray in tongues. You say, we bless you. Why you are not this that generator? Pray in tongues, just pray. You chop pepper. Just pray. You know, let me tell you how funny that is. I say, hello, how are you? What's your name? Father, we worship you. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify. We are. Rebecca is my name. Are you? Amen, amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God.
Rejoice in the Holy Ghost. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Glory to his name.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
Well, jump up on your feet and just shout. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I see the Holy Ghost on you. Leave your shoes. The Holy Ghost is on you. You. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It just starts like that. You know, God is taking care of some bills for him. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Resurrection has happened though. I hope you know.
Yes,
all power is now Jesus'
yes,
and we're his body.
Yes,
amen, amen,
amen.
Okay, sit down, laugh a bit. Just sit, sit. Sit. Get drunk a bit. Please put your hand on her head. Put your hand on her head. Yes. Just get drunk a bit. Just. Ha 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 ha. It's the Holy Ghost. Ha ha ha. I belong to the church of Jesus. I must do what the church does. What the Holy Ghost makes us to do. Harden not your heart as in a day of provocation. Woo, go man. Woof, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know what the observer said? These men are full of new wine. These men, all of them, not some, all. So if we can just be in one accord, we will all get intoxicated. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. I never be too cool, calm, and collected for the Lord Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. This is how He beautifies our lives. It's turning around. It's turning around for your good.
Thank you, Lord.